Let's turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke for our scripture reading this morning. Luke is the third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we are going to go to chapter 4. Luke, chapter 4, and I am going to start reading at verse number 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, 4:14. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Thank you. God's Word says this, starting in verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, it is so wonderful to be able to read your word, to hear what your son Jesus said and how he taught. And Father, as your representative here at Beech Grove Church here this morning, Lord. Father, my prayer this whole week was that you bring the people here that need to be here and prepare the message that people need to hear. So, Father, I am just trusting in you that what you're about to have me say, Lord, will be exactly what you want me to say and not Mike up here talking. Father, may these words fall on the ears that need to hear them. Father, may your power of your scripture transform lives in this sanctuary here this morning as we hear these words. You get all the praise and glory, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. And you may be seated. Just a few notes. Usually here in the bulletin where it says sermon notes, I usually have fill-in-the-blanks, and we usually do that every Sunday where I have a couple fill-in-the-blanks there. You notice that we don't have that for our regulars. We don't have that here this morning. So that gives you freedom to write in those blanks whatever you feel is necessary to write in those blanks. It's Homecoming Sunday at Beech Grove Christian Church. Just a myriad of topics that I could talk about. One would be coming home for a homecoming, and that's always a good message. Yesterday was 9/11, the day that we all remember 9/11, 2001, and I could probably speak to that. But God has certainly moved me in a different direction here this morning. And so this morning I'm going to talk to you about tattoos. And everybody puts their sleeves down. Fear not, crowd. We'll be all right. What is a tattoo? A tattoo is a permanent mark or design made on the body when pigment is inserted into the dermal layer of the skin through ruptures in the skin's top layer. Modern-day tattoos are applied by using an electric tattoo machine with needles that rapidly puncture the skin with an up-and-down motion like that of a sewing machine. Here are some facts about tattoos. Tattooing is the United States' sixth fastest-growing retail business. In April of 2006, more than 45 million Americans had at least one tattoo. My daughter had five of them. The 24 through 29 age group gets the most tattoos. The percentage seems to be even between male and female, and it seems to be even among whites, blacks, and Hispanics. Tattoos are applied by a tattoo artist, usually at a tattoo studio, at a cost of anywhere from $75 to $250 per hour. You can have a tattoo applied anywhere you want on your body. The only places you cannot technically get permanent tattoos are your hair, your teeth, and your nails. 43% of people polled say they get tattooed to represent something personal. 76% of people say that the biggest issue in preventing them from getting a tattoo is finding that perfect tattoo design. 29% of adults with tattoos feel more rebellious. 300% more cases of hepatitis are reported with people associated with dental offices than with tattoo studios. Here's a stat that may not surprise some of you. Democrats are more likely to have tattoos than Republicans. I could go off on a tangent at this point and give some personal notes, but I will leave my political opinions to another date and time. 17% of people who have a tattoo regret getting it. One writer says this: "So you didn't believe your mom when she said you'd regret getting that tattoo, that multicolored fire-breathing dragon that starts at the small of your back, reaches up your shoulder blades, and wraps its orange flames around your biceps. Now, a mere 7 years later, you have a shot at a very terrific job in the banking industry, which is still one of the more conservative businesses around. And you are concerned that your symbol of youthful self-expression could create problems in your new career. Can a tattoo be removed? Here are some methods that have been used over the years. One is called dermabrasion, where the skin is sanded to remove the surface in the middle layers. One is called cryosurgery, where the area is frozen prior to its removal. One is called excision, where the dermatologic surgeon removes the tattoo with a scalpel and closes the wound with stitches. And in some cases involving large tattoos, a skin graft from another part of the body may be necessary. Another way of tattoo removal is by a laser. Lasers work by producing short pulses of intense light that pass harmlessly through the top layers of the skin to be selectively absorbed by the tattoo pigment. This laser energy causes the tattoo pigment to fragment into smaller particles and then are removed by the body's immune system. Or, if you don't want it removed, you could choose for a cover-up. One choice is to cover the tattoo with another design. It's easier to cover a lighter tattoo with a darker color, but oftentimes the original work is done in a darker color. And if so, this means you really need a good tattooist who is not only a really good tattooist, but a very good artist. And what they will have to do is find a way to work the existing tattoo into a new design that will cover and disguise what's already there. The FAQS.org website says this: there are several methods for removing a tattoo. However, with all these methods, you still end up with either a different tattoo or a scar. Now, let me make this clear here this morning, because I don't want anybody to get bent out of shape on Homecoming Sunday. If you have a tattoo or not is none of my business, nor is it any of my concern. That is your choice. So feel free to breathe a sigh of relief, because I'm neither going to judge you, nor chastise you, nor condemn you for a tattoo that you might have on your body. Are we okay with that? Okay? All right, good. Well, that's enough about physical tattoos, the kind that's found on a person's body. Let's shift gears. Let's remember that, but let's shift gears and talk about another type of tattoo that people have. These tattoos are the spiritual kind. In the Bible, they don't call them tattoos, they call them sins. And here are some facts about spiritual tattoos, the ones that the Bible calls sins. Fact: every American has at least one spiritual tattoo. Most, if not all, people have multiple spiritual tattoos. Fact: spiritual tattoos have no gender, ethnic, or age barrier. Men, women, whites, blacks, Hispanics, Asians, Democrats, Republicans, young and old, we all have them. It's difficult to say which age group has the most spiritual tattoos. Probably your age group. Fact: we don't have to go to someone else to have a spiritual tattoo applied. We apply them all by ourselves, at any time and at any place. Fact: 13% of Americans do not believe that they have a spiritual tattoo. Fact: those same 13% are dead wrong. And what about finding that perfect spiritual tattoo design? Fact: 100% of the people always find the right one that just suits them. Fact: 100% of the people with spiritual tattoos are rebellious. Fact: spiritual tattoos are not applied on the body. They are applied on the soul, where our heart lives. Fact: spiritual tattooing, it's not a business. It is the human condition, and we all suffer from it. Now, for the bad news. Unlike physical tattoos, these spiritual tattoos, these sins, they carry with them a certain death sentence. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says this, that we are dead in our sins and in our transgressions. Romans 6, verse 23 says this, that the wages of sin is death. And Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 24, that we will die in our sins. The death sentence, my friends, the death sentence of our sin, of our spiritual tattoos, is a one-way ticket to an eternity in hell, separated forever from the love of God in the torments in the lake of burning sulfur. That's not me talking, my friends. That's God's Word speaking. So, I ask, what do you do with your spiritual tattoos? Do you flaunt them and put them on display for everyone to see? Because they represent who you are and what you are. Or maybe you cover them up and you only show them to certain other individuals. Or perhaps you admire your spiritual tattoos in those solitary moments when there is no one else listening or watching. Spiritual tattoos, I guarantee, bring spiritual death. And these tattoos are marked all over our souls, like a body that's riddled with cancer, with those ugly, nasty tumors that will eventually bring death to that body. These spiritual tattoos will eventually bring spiritual death to us. But, what a great transition word. But, this morning, I want to give words of hope for those people sitting in here this morning who have the desire to have their spiritual tattoos washed clean. Words of hope to those people who desire for their souls to be cleansed and whitened of those ugly spots of sin. Words of hope to those people who no longer want the chains and bondage of sin being their master. Words of hope to those people whose walk in life needs a dramatic redirection, because the direction you are now walking is taking you right down a certain path of destruction. Is this you today? Is this you today? Perhaps it is, and perhaps God brought you here this morning for a purpose. If it is, then I ask this. Are you willing? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to get your spiritual tattoos washed? White as snow. Cleansed from your soul. To get right with God. Are you willing to do whatever it takes? In the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, there is a wonderful story about a prophet. His name is Elijah. And a poor widow in the town of Zarephath, we don't know her name, the name isn't given. Here's a quick version of that story. A famine had been plaguing that region for over 3 years. Food was scarce. God sends the prophet Elijah to a widow in a Gentile city of Zarephath. When Elijah arrives, the widow has only enough flour and oil to make one more meal for her and her son. After that, they would die of starvation. But Elijah tells her this, to make that last meal and give it to him. And if she does, he assures her that the God of Israel will provide for her. Now, the widow at Zarephath is faced with a decision. Either I give this man everything I have, and I trust that he is speaking the truth about God, or do I keep what I have for myself? If I give it to the prophet, and he is wrong, then I only die one meal sooner. If I keep what I have for myself, I will still surely die just one meal later. But if he is speaking the truth, then I will live. She decides to trust the man of God, and she gives him everything she has. The widow at Zarephath makes the right choice. The jar of flour and the jug of oil never run out. God miraculously provides every day the increase that she needs to live. Every day, that jar of flour is full. Every day, that jug of oil is full. She can make a meal every day and live. The widow at Zarephath had a problem. She was dying physically. And every person walking the face of this earth, we have a problem too. We are dying spiritually. Unless we get cleansed. Listen, my friends, we will never, ever get to that point of a true spiritual cleansing until we become just like that widow at Zarephath. She had to come to the point where she realized that there was absolutely nothing that she could do on her own to fix her problem. Let me repeat that. She had to realize there was absolutely nothing that she could do on her own to fix her problem, except trust in God. Except trust in God. So how do we get spiritually cleansed? In our scripture reading this morning, we read it in the book of Luke. What do we need to do? Because we certainly can't do it ourselves. We have to get to that point like the widow at Zarephath did. We have to realize that we are poor. That we are a prisoner. That we are blind. That we are oppressed. That we have to know that our spiritual tattoo carries a certain death sentence. We need to realize that we need forgiven. We need a redeemer. We need washed. Like the widow at Zarephath, we need to trust in God. The only hope, my friends, of eternal life, of you spending eternity in heaven with Jesus and probably many of your loved ones, the only hope of washing these damning spiritual tattoos is found in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Jesus says this in John chapter 13, 8, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And I'll go back to my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses, Romans 10, verse 13, that says this, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Quite often I look back over the last 3 years of my life. And I know that God has a purpose for me being at Beech Grove Christian Church. At first, it was difficult to figure that out. But when He has a plan, you just go with it. But quite often, I think there are those occasions where sometimes people are sitting in here, just like the widow at Zarephath, and they need an Elijah in their life. And yes, I could preach about a homecoming, and I could preach about 9/11. But I believe that there are people in here this morning that have spiritual tattoos, and they need washed. And there's only one fix, if that's you. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He died on a cross for the forgiveness of your sins. I don't in any way put myself at the same level as a prophet of God. I'm just a guy who was reborn because somebody at one point in time shared the gospel with me. It's my responsibility to share it with you. Listen, church, we're all born with spiritual tattoos, but we don't have to die that way. Today, not tomorrow, today is the day that you need to place your faith, your trust, and your hope in Jesus Christ for your spiritual cleansing, because you, like myself, cannot do it by yourself. The widow couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. You can't do it. For praise the Lord, we serve a Savior who can. And He says this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Your spiritual tattoos, do they remain as marks of damnation on your soul? Or have you been cleansed by the Savior? Is it well with your soul? Is it well with your soul? Will you walk out of here today knowing that beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you never make it home, where your eternity is going to be? As my former pastor used to always say, I am responsible to you, but I'm not responsible for you. I cannot make that decision. But I hope this morning you have come to the point where you realize you have spiritual tattoos, you can't get rid of them yourself, and there is one who can. And I hope you put your hope, your faith, and your trust in Him today. Let's go to God in prayer.